Today on the WGXC Evening News, the expanded hour-long version that is morphing into a new show called All Together Now starting next week. Today's show features an interview with Rashad Barksdale about Hudson Little League. We'll also hear from Ross Goldstein from Catskill discussing the launch of his 13 Moons book, 33 black and white Polaroid photographs published locally by Publication Studio. Plus radio news about Low Power FM and a report from the Workers Independent News and more. Song of the day from Joe Fletcher and the Wrong Reasons, performing later in the evening at Helsinki Hudson. I'm Tom Rowe. This is the WGXC Evening News.
Interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
Radio broadcast. This, I believe.
Tune in to All Together Now, WGXC's collaborative hour-long news show at 6 p.m. featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews. Tune in to learn more about the issues that affect communities throughout the Capital Region and the Hudson Valley, from the Catskills to the Berkshires.
From the WGXC Newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for Thursday, April 28, 2016. I'm Philip Grant. Katie Kosajansky is reporting in the Daily Mail that the Cairo-Durham Board of Education has adopted its 2016-17 school budget. The $29 million spending plan calls for a tax levy increase of 1.19%. There will be no programming staffing changes next year. Spending will increase by more than $200,000, primarily due to increased salaries and benefits for staff, business manager Jeff Murillo said. Murillo said the district did not see any increase in the state aid because of declining enrollment and the drop-off in capital projects. 46% of the district's total budget is dependent on state aid. As part of the annual budget vote next month, Cairo-Durham district voters will be asked to approve the purchase of 5 buses, consider establishing a capital reserve fund, and authorize the purchase of the parcel of land located adjacent to the elementary school. A public hearing on the budget will be held May the 5th at the High School Media Center. John Mason is reporting in the Register Star that F. Michael Tucker has been chosen as the new president and CEO of the Columbia Economic Development Corporation, effective Sunday, May the 1st. Tucker has served as the organization's interim head since July. CEDC Board President Tony Jones said, and I quote, "Mike Tucker is perfectly poised to continue to provide leadership and continuity to the CEDC," end quote. Tucker welcomed the opportunity to implement the corporation's newly completed strategic plan. Since taking the reins last summer, the CEDC has reorganized, changed board membership, and rewritten its bylaws. Tucker is the president of Tucker Strategies. You can read that full story in the Register Star. Rick Carlin is reporting at Capital Confidential that upstate secessionists are meeting in western New York this year. The Divide NYS caucus has announced its Exodus New York rally will be held on May the 14th in Albion, Orleans County. The group continues to advance the idea of asking voters during a constitutional convention if the state should be split into 2 separate upstate and downstate regions. Everything from Westchester and Rockland counties north would become New Amsterdam, becoming the 51st state. The area south of that line would be New York. The group hopes to get an amendment to the state voters in 2017. You can read that full story at Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. Matthew Hamilton in the Albany Times Union reports that State Comptroller Tom DiNapoli wrote a strongly worded letter to the head of the Federal Department of Transportation asking officials to increase oil train safety measures. DiNapoli wrote in a 7-page letter to USDOT Secretary Anthony Fox, and I quote, "Any train accident involving crude oil or other hazardous materials creates the risk of significant human trauma and disruption to communities. The possibility of an accident on the scale of the Lac Mégantic, Quebec tragedy is not only a significant hazard to New York residents and environmental resources, it is also a financial threat. A higher consequence incident would not only deplete the state's mechanism for funding cleanup of petroleum spills, but also divert funding from other vital services," end quote. Currently, many oil trains race up and down alongside the Hudson River each day in the WGXC listening area. DiNapoli, as comptroller, oversees the State Environmental Protection and Spill Compensation Fund, which holds up to $40 million for spill-related disasters. He says filing from CSX and Canadian Pacific leave, and I quote, "open questions about the company's insurance coverage for large-scale accidents," end quote. You can read that full story in the Albany Times-Union. Vincent Manganelli in the Daily Mail reports that the Greene County Industrial Development Agency does use competitive bidding procedures, as a recent state authority's budget office report recommends. A study by the state authority's budget office released earlier in the month found municipal and industrial development agencies that employ competitive bidding procedures when selecting service contracts incur lower project costs. In 2014, New York IDAs reported that only 32% of procurements used competitive bidding. In New York, 33 IDAs reported that they did not competitively select any contract procurements, while 10 did. Other government agencies did a bit better. Nonprofits, defined as local authorities, reported a 73% competitively selected procurement rate, while state authorities reported 65% and local authorities 57%. Hamilton writes, and I quote, "Locally, the Rensselaer County IDAs is among those that use a competitive selection process for its audit service contracts, resulting in a $203 per cost project for 60 projects. Compare that to Albany County IDA, which did not use a competitive selection process and incurred a $393 cost per project for 15 projects. You can read that full story in the Daily Mail. The Mid-Hudson News reports in the Daily Freeman that a report issued by Hudson Valley Pattern for Progress shows the local value in urban farming. Pattern Research Associate Rebecca Dela Cruz said the study, and I quote, "recognizes that the demand is high even in smaller cities like Beacon and Hudson," end quote. Farmers markets, community gardens, and local supermarkets, quote, "can make urban centers a more desirable living and working space by eliminating food insecurity and addressing the prevalence of food deserts," end quote. You can read that full story in the Daily Freeman.
This is Tom Rowe with the local weather. Morning should be a chilly 37 with a slight chance of showers Friday morning, high of 52. Friday night, the slight chance of showers continues before 11 p.m. Then overnight it's cloudy with a low around 37. Saturday is mostly sunny with a high near 60, then a low around 40, and there's a chance of rain again late Saturday night into Sunday with a high near 54. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acre.
All right, all together now. Ready?
All Together Now is a new evening news show brought to you by WGXC in Greene and Columbia Counties, and WOOC in Troy. The show is a unique, community-based collaboration between listeners and programmers, both on air and off. If you want to get involved, send us an email at info@wgxc.org.
You are listening to the WGXC News Update. I'm Alana Medlock. You can read these stories and more by visiting the newsroom at WGXC.org. Perry Teasdale has a long story in the Columbia paper detailing something of a border war between Chatham and Ghent. Chatham Mayor Tom Curran recently discovered a slight change in Ghent zoning that could allow businesses that handle toxic materials to operate within the watershed that supplies drinking water to the village of Chatham and parts of the hamlet of Ghent. Ghent Supervisor Mike Benvenuto responded by calling the mayor's concerns, quote, insulting and an attack on his town. At first, Benvenuto said he would vote against appointing a Ghent resident who lives in the village of Chatham to the committee in charge of revising the zoning laws. Quote, he subsequently relented on the appointment, but the underlying issue remains to be resolved, Teasdale writes. Read the full story in the Columbia paper. William J. Kemble in the Daily Freeman reports, local opponents of the proposed Pilgrim pipeline are happy about the state denying permits to another nearby proposed pipeline and about Kinder Morgan canceling another pipeline for economic reasons. Jennifer Metzger from Coalition Against the Pilgrim Pipelines said, quote, "The state did a great thing by rejecting the Constitution pipeline and recognizing that the project directly contradicts New York's energy goals. Quote, the same logic applies to Pilgrim, and this proposal should likewise be rejected," end quote. The Department of Environmental Conservation denied permits last week to the proposed 124.14-mile Constitution pipeline, which would have moved natural gas from Pennsylvania to Schoharie County. Kinder Morgan announced April 20th that it won't build the $5 billion Northeast Energy Direct pipeline through Albany and Rensselaer counties because of low gas prices. The Pilgrim pipeline is proposed in New York along 95 miles of the I-87 Thruway right-of-way, with another 25 miles on private property, which would be taken over by eminent domain. Protests are planned for May 1st against the pipeline at the state thruway toll plazas. Read the full story in the Daily Freeman. Brenton J. Lyons in Capital Confidential reports that State Attorney General Eric T. Schneiderman filed a lawsuit against Rensselaer County District Attorney Joel E. Abelove on April 27th, claiming Abelove, quote, flagrantly violated, end quote, an executive order by ignoring Schneiderman's concerns about a fatal police shooting that was followed by quick grand jury action last week. Schneiderman's office had notified Abelove that the attorney general wanted to review evidence in the case, but 3 days later, the grand jury, which Abelove ordered, cleared Troy Police Sergeant Randy French of wrongdoing in the shooting that had happened just 5 days earlier. The district attorney said the officer acted appropriately in killing a DWI suspect through a windshield when the man's vehicle allegedly pinned French against his police car. However, quote, DA Abelove's rush to the grand jury flouted at least four lawfully issued directives by the attorney general pursuant to Executive Order 147, end quote, the lawsuit states. Read the full story in Capital Confidential, a Times Union blog. Michael DeMasi in the Albany Business Review reports average airfares at Albany International Airport fell 7.3% just as discount airline JetBlue began using the facility. Airport officials, though, say the price drop had to do with other market forces. Quote, increased seat capacity combined with a decline in average airfare nationally were the main reasons for the decline in the average airfare, end quote. Albany Airport Authority CEO John O'Donnell said in an email. Read the full story in the Albany Business Review. This has been the WGXC News Update.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio Daily News and Weather Report for today, Thursday, the 28th day of April 2016. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day and a pleasant tomorrow.
Here's an interview with Rashad Barksdale from the April 27th WGXC afternoon show talking about Hudson Little League.
All right, we got Rashad on the line, man. Let's talk to Rashad. Talk to the boy. Slay, you and Rashad play nice today. All right, bro. Rashad, what's good, dog?
Oh, what's going on?
Hold on. Let me give you the, you know,
the applause.
Hey, first of all, I want to thank you for taking the time to call in, and I also want to thank you for the link that you provided us with Dricky. Dricky came through for us big time, man, gave us a drop, gave us some new music.
Okay.
That couldn't happen without you, so thank you, dog.
No, nothing.
So let's talk about, first of all, can I ask you a question, like, is everything good with Little Man? He good?
Yeah, he's good. He's taking advantage of that world treatment.
Yeah. Okay.
So that's why I was late. I mean,
yeah, I
figured we were all sleeping. I'm taking advantage of it, you know, just resting. And I woke up right at 5 o'clock.
Yeah, I figured that because I remember we was talking a little bit about it. But the reason why we wanted you to call in, not like you need a reason to call in, but it just came to our attention that your foundation is now sponsoring a Little League team. Do you want to talk about that and let the listeners know how that went down and why it went down?
Yeah, each year, you guys know when you guys are, you know, supporters and you guys participate in basketball event, and that's just like one time thing. So I just, you know, each year I'm trying to get involved as much as possible as I can with the community, with not being, you know, not being home. I was speaking to the Little League team. I actually wanted to do it a couple years ago, but just never got to it. And like I said, I was speaking to Georgetown, Ticarello as well, and they're saying the numbers are a little, you know, staggering. They're not as high as they used to be. I know, especially back when I was playing. So, I just wanted to get involved and, you know, help out the Little League team. Hopefully, they can, you know, they get the numbers. The uniforms came out great, so I'm happy about that as well. So, that's how we, you know, I really came to it in regards to, you know, sponsoring that team.
Right now, and in the last few months, I'll say in the last 6 months, you have been that go-to guy. When anything needed that was needed, they call on you. I remember even back when they were doing the, what was it called, the Capital Project, right? They called on you. I remember when they needed more buses for the spectators, they called on you. Do you feel, I mean, I know it has to feel good, you know, to be able to be there for the city, but do you feel that? No, I ain't gonna even answer that question. I won't answer that question. Cause, my bad.
No, we gotta send it back. The mascot came in.
Oh yeah,
came out great. But they messed up the color, so it was light blue instead of royal blue. We gotta send it back.
Okay.
And get that down. But I mean it looked official other than the color. So waiting for that to come back as well.
Well, I can revise my question. How does it feel to know that when the city is in need, that they know that they can count on you? How does that make you feel, you know, as an alumni from Hudson High and as, you know, a former resident and by heart always a resident of Hudson?
It feels good. I mean, quite honestly, it's something that I kind of wanted to, you know, build that rapport and that name. And when I was playing football, you know, growing up, you see on TV all these guys who are giving back to the community, you know, doing this and that, you know, foundations, events. That's what I kind of wanted to bring back to Hudson. Like I said, I was, you know, I was able and blessed for the opportunity to play at a professional level. Not too many people are able to do that. So, you know, with that, you know, obviously I would love to play more, because I think if I was able to play more and, man, get those paychecks like those guys are getting now, I would be able to do a lot more. With me, I'm happy what I'm able to do, but I know that a little part of me says, you know, if I was able to play more, I would be able to do more for the community. That's just not saying that, you know, I'm not doing best I can, but that's just me. That's just my personality. Mm-hmm. Like, is that not, like, I don't want to say not good enough, but like I said, I knew if somehow, some way, if I was able to do a little bit more on that football field, I can give back a little bit more to the community.
I think things like that, like with you saying stuff like that, that should be something that when you come back and they should talk about, you know, Rashad, this is the kind of person he is. He's actually a little unhappy with himself because he didn't get to play enough so he could do more for his city. I mean, that's huge right there, man.
Yeah, and I think you should take it into account that, you know, you're a kid from Little Hudson who made it, you know, to the NFL, and that's inspiration enough.
Absolutely.
To be like, yo, look, we got somebody that got there and, you know, that made it. And, you know, take that into account that a lot of cities don't have that. A lot of bigger cities don't have that. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And somebody that comes back and you know, and is giving back. I mean, even though you don't actually physically live here, I mean, your presence is here, like, all year round.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you think about it. Like, now you're doing this. I mean, you did the flag football thing for 1 year, and you're thinking about doing it again. You do the Christmas shopping thing. I mean, yeah. I mean, you're doing a whole lot, man. As a matter of fact, I got to give you an applause, man. You deserve it.
Come on, man. We got to call it. We ain't going to change. We ain't going to get... No, we gotta call it the clap, man. That's how we came in calling it the clap.
We
can't call it the applause, man.
He gotta get up.
The clap.
All right,
man.
You gonna get the clap. You get the clap. The beehive has spoken, dog. You got the clap.
You guys heard about was it that basketball player that they told me like 30 something?
Yeah. He said he don't know how old he is.
Yeah.
Well, someone told me they had tryouts at the Little League team at down Hudson. They said KK was down there trying to try out.
Oh, you see? Now you see?
You know I had to come back with something.
I was trying, man.
Slay, he wrote with you on that.
He brought me right in.
Because I'm not right going front. In. When Slay started to talk, I said Slay about to punch him in the gut. But Slay was serious.
That's what I thought too. I'm trying to give the man a real compliment, man. And you know,
I almost held off on it though when you gave that compliment, man. I say it now. But,
see, you know. See how they do you, V? Stab you right in the back. I mean, but nah, for real. All jokes aside, man, you made it there, and you know. That's something they could never take from you. You know what I mean? That, and they could never probably take the helmet off your head.
Here we go.
Shots fired.
So, Rashad, you got anything else going on that's coming up that you want to let us know about?
Well, I'm working on some few things. I wanted to do a couple of things this summer, but I didn't want to rush. In regards to getting it done, it's to not say too much about it. It's got to do with the Patroon Conference itself, a lot of the schools. Mm-hmm. As far as we have something football related, but also I'm working with one of the I'm trying to start to work with ShopRite in regards to this project that I really want to do. I think it would be great. This has nothing to do with sports or anything. It's once I get more information, I'll definitely let you guys know.
All right.
So I'm hoping that can get that going off maybe by the end of this year.
Mm-hmm. All right, dog. So
yeah, everything you do ain't gotta be sports, you know what I mean? You gotta downplay it.
Yeah.
Just do it. I mean, if you ever want, you know, just give me some money, you go on ahead. We ain't gotta play no sports, we ain't gotta do nothing.
Just hand it right over, Slay. Yo, Sean, thank you.
But no, this year I think was the highest numbers for our scholarship.
That's what's up.
We're about 14 kids, so we got some reading to do, and so that's always the good thing about the scholarship. Obviously, that's why I created the foundation. It's just reading some of these kids' essays, like, you know, what they're inspired and what they want to do in life. So it's always a good thing to read, and I mean, sometimes you get touched. And some of these kids are, you know, really inspired to go out and do the best that they can do. So I'm thankful I can help them.
Oh, one other thing, man. Congratulations is in order. You just got inducted into, I don't want to say it wrong. It's, what was it actually called? The sports thing that they did an article on you, the first article, right?
The top 25?
No. I got it written down, man. I seen it on Twitter, man. You got inducted. They did an article.
That New York sports?
Yeah.
They wanted to work with me pretty much just, you know, writing out my story, doing articles, how I was playing football, et cetera. So that'll be interesting in regards to, you know, me sharing my story with the people out there who really don't know me and pretty much, you know, what I've been through. So it's gonna be fun because I wanna I mean, I'm going to lay it all online in regards to like people know what I really went through. It wasn't all, you know, roses and all that stuff. So you'll be able to read and to know how it really went down.
Yeah, yeah. I remember reading some of it. They were saying how you know, you were like a little, like, you didn't want to play for the football team. They didn't have a good year the year before.
Nah, they sucked. And I judged the book by its cover. I was like, man, I don't want to play with these guys. But I actually built some really good relationships with them. So that was a true example. Like, you know, you can't judge anything by its cover. You never know what's going to come out of a situation.
Yeah, true. All right, man. Listen, like we said, you know, the lines are always open. Thanks for calling in, and thanks for supporting, yep. You know, the Little League. I know they're happy to have you. What's the name of the team? Is it the, It's Okay to Dream?
Yeah, It's Okay to Dream. Someone, one of the parents sent me a picture of one of the kids in the uniform. I said that the jersey is red with the gold lettering, and then they got a white hat. Like, I got a white hat and red lettering. It says Dream.
Oh, okay. Throw it up on the book, and we'll share it.
Yep. All right.
All right, thanks for the call, Shy.
Yeah.
All right, man. Peace out.
Yep.
Always good talking to Shy, man.
Absolutely.
You know, we're going to take a break. Is that good? Everybody
yeah,
good with a break?
Tune in U.S. Congressman Chris Gibson, Republican from Kinderhook, in the WGXC Hudson studio Thursday, May 5th on the new All Together Now news show from 6 to 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM. Call in with your questions for the congressman at 518-828-0290 or email questions to info@wgxc.org or tweet at WGXC. Your questions for Congressman Chris Gibson on All Together Now Thursday, May 5th from 6 to 7 p.m. on your creative community radio station, WGXC.
All Together Now, the 6 p.m. Monday through Saturday newscast for Greene and Columbia counties is looking for contributors. Are you a retired weather expert? Have you always wanted to cover high school sports? Do you attend your own town meetings regularly and possess a cell phone? Then you could be a contributor to All Together Now. Send your idea for a regular segment or tell us if you would like to cover a specific beat, and WGXC can share technological skills, reporting rules, sunshine laws, and helpful hints to help report on your community. Listen to Democracy Now! In the morning and All Together Now! In the evening on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported hands-on radio. Time for radio news about radio waves.
Thanks, 10-4.
You're listening to radio news about radio waves. Headlines from the ether. This is Timer with the radio news about radio waves. Radio World reports that Federal Communications Commission Commissioner Megan L. Clyburn bragged to the audience at last week's National Association of Broadcasters Convention about the success of the low-power FM service. Quote, as you know, low-power FM radio service was created as a way to serve local and or underrepresented groups within communities, she said. In just over 2 years since the LPFM filing window opened, 1,900 construction permits for new LPFM stations have been issued, with the expectation that by the end of the year, there will be approximately 2,000 LPFM stations operating on the air. This phenomenal success story will result in diversity of new viewpoints and hyper-local content that is so desperately needed in our country, unquote. Clyburn, one of the three Democrats on the commission, spoke to a crowd once very hostile to the idea of low-power FM. The National Association of Broadcasters and National Public Radio once argued that allowing community access to underused frequencies by tiny stations would interfere with larger stations. What they really thought was that adding community radio stations would steal their audiences. Turns out they are wrong on both counts, as studies have found listening to the radio leads to more listening to the radio, not less, and that attracting new audiences helps similar stations. Oh, and there have been very, very few reports of interference from low-power FM stations. This is Time Row for Waveform Radio and WGXC.
Next, we have these reports.
With Workers' Independent News in depth, I'm Joanne Powers. The National Labor Relations Board has filed an official complaint against Chinese trucking subsidiary Intermodal Bridge Transport, alleging unfair labor practices against port truck drivers misclassified as independent contractors. Drivers at Intermodal went on strike for the third time last week at the Port of Los Angeles, Long Beach, the latest in a long line of strikes over misclassification in the drayage industry. Julie Gutman-Dickinson is local counsel for the Teamsters Port Division.
At the Port of Los Angeles and throughout the country, there have been a pervasive misclassification of drivers as independent contractors when in fact they are employees. And we have had success after success with government agencies, state and federal courts, uniformly finding that in fact these drivers are employees and not independent contractors.
Workers who are misclassified as independent contractors are denied the right to form a union under the National Labor Relations Act.
It's effectively telling workers that they cannot unionize, and thereby it's interfering, restraining, and coercing them in the exercise of their very basic right to choose whether or not to form a union. This issuance of a complaint by the region, which will be prosecuted by the General Counsel of the NLRB, represents a determination of the regional director that misclassifying drivers in and of itself violates the National Labor Relations Act. It's going to lead to a historic trial.
As independent contractors, drivers are not only denied the right to organize and basic labor protections, but they are also responsible for expenses such as maintenance, fuel, insurance, and truck rental.
Misclassification is wage theft at its worst. It is unimaginable, but I have seen this several times, that there are weeks where drivers who are misclassified as independent contractors after working 40, 50-hour weeks, where they, in fact, get negative paychecks. I've seen it. It is unconscionable and is unlawful. We will continue to be filing lawsuits, bringing cases to the National Labor Relations Board, to state and federal agencies, and we will continue to fight against misclassification until it is dead. Drivers are increasingly frustrated. They will take to the streets and continue their strikes and labor unrest, which I predict will grow in the months and years ahead until misclassification ends.
Gutman-Dickinson says the issuance of this complaint by the regional director and now prosecution by the general counsel of the NLRB is precedent-setting and will send the message loud and clear to the trucking industry that misclassification carries a very high price.
Workers' Independent News is brought to you by the Office and Professional Employees International Union, online at opeiu.org, and by the International Association of Machinists and Aerospace Workers, online at goiam.org.
You've been listening to WIND, Workers' Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Here's an interview with Ross Goldstein from Catskill discussing the launch of his 13 Rooms book of 33 black and white Polaroid photographs, published locally by Publication Studio.
We are happy to have in the Catskill WGXC studio somebody that just came out with a book of some photographs, Mr. Ross Goldstein. Hello.
Hi. Hi, Pete.
We're going to be discussing...
Hi, listeners.
What's that?
Oh, I was just saying hi to the listeners.
Oh,
in
yes.
Radio Land.
Yes, yes. He's going to be having a book opening tonight. But we will get to that in a few. But I just wanted to start out with if you could give us, you know, first of all, tell us the name of the book that you came out with.
The title of the book is 13 Moons.
What made you come up with that that title? Was there a motivation behind
there
that?
There are a few different inspirations.
Okay. The number 13?
The lunar calendar.
Okay, cool.
But really,
it was just a creative something that you came up with that you decided for a title, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, cool. What does the book involve for you? What is it about?
Well, most of the pictures, pretty much all the photos in the book were taken around the Catskill Hudson area.
Okay.
They're all black and white Polaroid pictures. A lot of them have multiple exposures. I guess for me, the fun is to make a book and sequence the photos, put them in some kind of, you know, order.
And you had mentioned Polaroid. We had talked before, previous to the show, that and I asked you, why did you pick that out, and what was that? For me, actually, in knowledge, I didn't even know that they were dealing with that anymore, and you had discussed the format of that, the Polaroid.
Oh, yeah. Well, I've always loved Polaroid, and so many people. I mean, it's a lot of fun, and I think it's more fun than other types of photography, at least for me, and I just have gravitated towards that. It's just sort of the worked for me,
right,
to enjoy, you know, photography with, and so I've stuck with it for years. Until recently, the film's always been available.
Right, and you had discussed that too. That at a point there was a discrepancy with Fuji and
right.
It almost fell out of place.
The
reason why I ask that is there's so many different, I mean, I don't know so much so many different, but some people will do digital, and some people, because of the creative process, they want to go with the film because they like the darkroom. Now, you said you don't do darkroom yourself.
No, I'd like to. I just haven't explored that up until this point.
Right,
yeah.
Right.
I mean, whatever works, I think, you know, however you are happy making pictures.
I did see the book, and it's an amazing book. You described that, specifically for one picture, how many exposures were on it for just one picture?
Oh, right. Well, that was a picture of the moon. 13 pictures of the moon on one piece of film.
Yeah,
because with the land camera, you can keep exposing because you have to pull the film out yourself, so you just keep exposing on it as, you know, as many times as you like until you want to pull the film out. And so that was also what led to the title, that one particular picture. But it's really fun because, you know, you just it becomes like a game, you know, that you're working within certain parameters, and, you know, you're not really sure, like, with, you can't line it up like you can with digital, so you just kind of, you know, are guessing as you're making these exposures, and it's fun to see how it turns out.
Well, I think that's why you really appreciate it too. It's really more, it isn't so much being a photographer, but it's being a creative artist that you can take, like you said, unlike the digital, you can take and process it 13 times or how many times to get what you are looking for in something that's artistic to you that you appreciate.
Yeah, I can do that all within this camera, just within the camera. So that's really fun. You know, I don't need to ever get it into the computer to do any more work to it. So,
now, you had said that you live in Catskill now, but you were originally from the city?
Yes.
But
I love it upstate. I really prefer, yeah, to be upstate. And I've lived in a few different places upstate,
right?
Like Troy. I lived there for 5 years, and Woodstock for a couple of years, and now here in Catskill Village for just over 2 years.
Nice, yes. We have met before, and it's good to see you again.
You too.
We had talked about some of the artists, too, that it's not so much that you... some of the artists, yes. But that it's more for the artistic style, that as an artist... that's what you're looking for, that being in the city and what you've studied and so forth and so on, that you look at yourself more as an artist than you do a photographer?
Yes, and I'm primarily a musician too, right. So it's all creative stuff.
Right. Tonight you're having a book opening with that at I believe it, yes, it is at the Plus Space.
Yes, me and Publication Studios, which Patrick Kiley was here in Catskill, and he recently moved up to Troy, and we're putting this book out together.
Yeah, Patrick I know quite well, actually. He lived he worked right below me. I lived right above where his original studio was on the top of Main Street.
Mm-hmm.
So I do know much about him and Ripley.
Yeah. They're
good
the people. Best. Yeah.
And so it's going to be at Plus Space tonight.
Uh-huh.
And what would you say is going on there?
Kind of somewhat low key. I mean, we'll have the books for sale, and there'll be posters for sale, and there'll be some free drinks and stuff, and some music, and that's really all. It's just an opportunity to celebrate the release of the book.
Right. Getting back to the book, what made you pick out the pictures that you picked? I mean, I know you said it's local Catskill, and were there certain things that you were looking for in your pictures, or certain types of pictures, or specific pictures that you were looking for? Hmm. I mean, what was the creative process for that? Or did you just take the pictures and then pick out the ones that fitted you the best?
I think probably the latter. I just take pictures over a period of time, and then, like I was saying before, enjoy like sequencing them. So, I don't know. It's just sort of some kind of idea forms, and then the idea seems to help me in choosing which pictures suit that idea.
That's exactly what I was looking for you to say. Okay, so tonight we have, like I said, it's at the Plus Space, and that's going to be at 365 Main Street, and it's from 8 o'clock until it says late, so however long that might go. I think there's going to be some added benefits going on there, too, that you're going to want to check out. For people to know, if you want to get on Facebook, you can get on Plus Space on Facebook. You can look at pictures that are already on there. Alan and Melissa, I don't know if she's going to be there tonight, but yes, she is going to be there tonight. Alan and Melissa will be there to also join you, but I expect there will be a lot of people there tonight. Is there anything else that you want to say about the book? Anything, some meanings, or what really brought this to fruition?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, I just really enjoy doing this kind of work, you know, and I hope to do more like this one, you know, or and I do have some film left, so
do you?
I think I've got about enough film for one more book like this of Polaroid pictures. No, I don't know what brought it about, really.
So there's a possibility of a 14 moon.
No.
Okay, well, I just thought you said you had extra pictures that you might be able to come up with something different. It's nice to see a creative process, and it's nice to hear how that process is done, be it with any type of artwork, from sketching to photographs to acting. There's a process that's in somebody that they're able to develop, or that might trigger another aspect of it that it ultimately leads to the final result. And looking at that book, it looks like there's a lot of creativity in there, and there's a lot of beauty in there, especially that it's local, too. I mean, that's an added benefit, that there's a local scenery around here. I mean,
it's inspiring.
It is. And we do have so many amazing artists in the Catskill region.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure that some of those have inspired you.
Absolutely.
Do you find that when you're in the city, what are some places that you like to visit? Russ and Daughters?
Yeah.
I'm sorry I sound naive, but what is Russ and Daughters?
Oh, it's a really good place to get bagels and lox and cream cheese and Jewish appetizing food.
Okay, I got you on that one. Okay, well, Alon, did you want to? Is there anything that you wanted to add besides that it's going to be on Plus Space tonight, and you're looking for that?
I'll just say that I'm a photographer myself, and it was great to support Ross in having the space available for him to show his book and feature it. And it's lovely. It's a beautiful book. It's intimate. It's gentle. It's something you don't often see. Often photographs are very vivid, in your face, about a specific subject. This is much more lyrical, poetic book.
Next, the national headlines from Public News Service.
Welcome to the Public News Service Daily Newscast for Thursday, April the 28th, 2016. I'm Mike Clifford. Featured on today's nationwide rundown, some interesting developments in the race for the White House. The focus is on preventable workplace deaths on this Workers' Memorial Day. And conservation groups say efforts to save the Mexican gray wolf are falling short. Topping our news, Wednesday turned out to be a busy day on the presidential campaign trail. Bernie Sanders disclosed he will be laying off hundreds of staff in other parts of the country so his campaign can focus on trying to win California. Ted Cruz named Carly Fiorina as his running mate, making the announcement in Indiana, the state widely believed to be the last stand for the Stop Trump movement. Meantime, the Republican frontrunner gave a foreign policy speech in Washington. Trump said he had a secret plan to rid the world of ISIS and that he would put America first. Today is National Workers' Memorial Day. Brandon Campbell tells us it's a time of remembrance and action for workers who've been killed or seriously hurt on the job.
Several unions under the Minnesota AFL-CIO are holding events around the state to call attention to the need for better workplace safety. Ahmed Ali with the Greater Minnesota Worker Center says they're holding a rally in support of poultry workers in St. Cloud. Ali says many are facing unfair practices, including restrictions on bathroom breaks and potentially unsafe conditions while working on the line.
When the line speed is extreme and workers describe it like a raging river or flowing water, when workers, as they tell us, are denied bathroom breaks, that affects the behavior at the workplace, but it also affects food safety and food quality.
Ali says a group of workers plan to deliver a letter asking their employers to improve these conditions. Meanwhile, a memorial will be held at noon at the state capitol in St. Paul.
Currently, unions are working to finalize new safety rules, including stronger anti-retaliation protections for workers who report on-the-job injuries. A new report shows nearly 17% of Kentuckians are at risk of hunger.
Betty Hudak is director of the St. Stephen Outreach Pantry in Harlan County, which has the second highest rate in the state at more than 22%.
Because the economy's bad, a lot of people, you know, they're not blessed to be able to go out of town to shop for groceries and get a better price. Some people will go hungry before they will come and stand in line. But I have people that stand in line for 2 hours to get a box of food.
Hudak says the pantry she runs in Cumberland distributes 300 to 400 food boxes a month, each box providing a family of three enough food for 3 to 5 meals. MAP, the meal gap, estimates it would take an additional $346 million to meet Kentuckians' food needs. I'm Greg Stottlemyre reporting.
A new statute to protect children from solitary confinement making its way through the Colorado House. We get the details from Eric Galatis.
Since 1999, Colorado has prohibited secluding juveniles as punishment. Elise Loggeman is executive director of the Colorado Juvenile Defender Center. She says two separate investigations found the state's Department of Youth Corrections had repeatedly held kids in small rooms with only a metal bed frame, toilet, and sink.
We can't rely on the division to regulate itself. We really need a statute in place to ensure that we don't backslide the way that we did after this law was initially passed. By 2010, we had an illegal policy, and by 2013, we were isolating kids for days and weeks at a time in violation of the law.
Opponents of House Bill 1328 have called the measure's reporting requirements onerous and claim its new policies already limit seclusions.
Missouri is highlighting a program to help crime victims stay anonymous. Veronica Carter reports it's called Safe at Home.
It was set up in 2007 and gives victims of domestic violence, sexual assault, rape, and stalking another address they can use. Stephanie Fleming is with the Missouri Secretary of State's office, which runs the program. She says the idea is to let victims keep their address private so they can feel safe in their homes.
Voter registration, driver's license, public school records, all of these are so public that to give them a substitute address to use on those forms, and it's a P.O. box, not a physical address, really provides a sense of security and safety.
According to data from the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, nearly 1 in 5 women and 1 in 71 men report experiencing rape at some time in their lives, and 7.5 million people are stalked each year in the U.S.
And finally, it has been 40 years today since the Mexican gray wolf was listed as an endangered species. Mark Richardson has been checking in with conservationists who are concerned about what they see as a serious lack of progress in reintroducing the animal into the wild.
In 2015, the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service counted only 97 lobos in the wild in Arizona and New Mexico. Fewer than 25 exist in Mexico, making it the most endangered animal in the world. Eva Sargent with Defenders of Wildlife says the wolves need more genetic diversity to survive.
All the Mexican wolves alive in the world today are the descendants of just 7 wolves that started a captive breeding program. And when you have that sort of genetic bottleneck, you really need to work hard to preserve the genetic diversity that you have. And unfortunately, that has never happened.
She says fish and wildlife officials who manage the current reintroduction program have failed to release enough wolves from captivity to sustain and grow the population.
A settlement was reached this week in connection with a 2014 lawsuit brought by an individual and a number of conservation groups, including Defenders of Wildlife, to force the Fish and Wildlife Service to comply with the requirements of the Endangered Species Act. That's our news for now. I'm Mike Clifford for Public News Service, member and listener supported, and online at publicnewsservice.org.
Amy Goodman, host of Democracy Now!, your daily grassroots, global, unembedded, independent, international investigative news hour, broadcasting live every weekday morning at 8 here on WGXC 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties.
I'm Philip Gray, one of the contributors to All Together Now. Listen to Democracy Now! In the morning and All Together Now! In the evening, WGXC's collaborative hour-long news show at 6 p.m., featuring local and regional news, weather updates, and newsmaker interviews on WGXC 90.7 FM, listener-supported, hands-on radio.
Democracy Now! At 8.
All Together Now! At 6 p.m.
Here on WGXC 90.7 FM.
This is Tom Rowe with the local weather. Morning should be a chilly 37 with a slight chance of showers Friday morning. High of 52. Friday night, the slight chance of showers continues before 11 p.m. Then overnight, it's cloudy with a low around 37. Saturday is mostly sunny with a high near 60, then a low around 40, and there's a chance of rain again late Saturday night into Sunday with a high near 54. You're listening to WGXC 90.7 FM Acre. tune in U.S. Congressman Chris Gibson, Republican from Kinderhook, in the WGXC Hudson studio Thursday, May 5th on the new All Together Now news show from 6 to 7 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM. Call in with your questions for the congressman at 518-828-0290 or email questions to info@wgxc.org or tweet at WGXC. Your questions for Congressman Chris Gibson on All Together Now, Thursday, May 5th from 6 to 7 p.m. on your creative community radio station, WGXC.
See the WGXC newsroom at WGXC.org for more information on anything you hear on All Together Now.
This is Timer with the local community calendar. Anybody can add an event to the WGXC community calendar at WGXC.org. Just go to the calendar there and click on Add an Event at the top of the page and copy and paste the information about your community event. Soon, folks like me will read about it on the radio. Folks around the world will see it at WGXC.org. On the WGXC community calendar for Friday, April 29th, no public meetings that we know about. Aunt Nona begins a run of comedy at the Bridge Street Theater in Catskill at 7:30 Friday night, and the Peter McKieran Band is at the Blackthorn Resort in East Durham.
Next, it's time for the Hudson Valley Song of the Day, a performance from a musician visiting the Capital Region or Hudson Valley, or who regularly plays around these parts.
Today's Song of the Day comes from Joe Fletcher. He's playing with Brian Wright at Club Helsinki Thursday, April 28th. This is Joe Fletcher and Wrong Reasons with Say What You Will.
What you will, we ain't never coming back. We're packing up now, it's just across the tracks. And it's alright, and it's all gone. See what you will, there's nothing wrong. I knew a widow, and I said, direction and no more diagrams. Young some beavers just kissing in the sand. Go tell the head chef he can't get away with that. And it assures the will to we'll proudly send it back. Admiration of the men, you'll run out of the fire, but you'll run back in again. We'll cross that river and rest in the shade of trees. I've seen everything today that I set out to see. I've seen everything today that I set out to see. I've seen everything today that I set out to see.